ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्ताम् वंदे गुरु परंपराम् श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंद माधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः सांगपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः सो कृष्ण द सिक्स्थ चैप्टर entitled as Dhyana Yoga or Atma Sanyama Yoga, discussed the Antaranga Sadhanani, Bahiranga Sadhanani. Then, in continuing his teaching, he presented earlier the process of meditation. Then, from this verse 20th to the 23rd verse. In these verses, he is making it clear that the culmination of Ashtanga Yoga is mental absorption. This mental absorption, which is Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. So even Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi, these three together finally culminate in the Nirvikalpaka Samadhi, which is called mental absorption. As yesterday also made it very clear, in Savikalpaka Samadhi, the will is involved, still there is effort involved, but in Nirvikalpaka Samadhi, there is no will involved. It becomes a natural, unbroken flow of continuous flow of thoughts, unobstructed by the dissimilar thoughts. So this samadhi, nirvikalpaka samadhi, which is the result, the benefit of the practicing this ashtanga yoga, especially Dharana Dhyana, the Samadhi. That Samadhi, Nirvikalpaka Samadhi being the benefit of this practice of Ashtanga Yoga, is discussed in these three verses, actually the 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, the four verses. And the fourth, the 23rd verse itself, second line onwards, he advises. He makes it very clear that definitely one has to practice this Nidhyasanam. Let us see if again, we'll see. And there in these verses, he presented the features of the Nirvikalpaka Samadhi as definitions of Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. Suppose, what is Nirvikalpaka Samadhi? How it should be? So, the mental absorption does not mean one should sit without moving an inch from a place where he is sitting. The Samadhi, Nirvikalpaka Samadhi, the mental absorption is actually the entertaining thoughts. There is a flow of thoughts. And this entertaining the thoughts dealing with Atma Swarupam. And suppose when we dwell upon the Swarupam of the Atma as revealed by the words of the Shastram, which have been carefully earlier unfolded by the teacher in the class, which has been heard earlier, and then which has been retained, and now again which is recollected and which is dwelt upon, and the dwelling upon the Swarupam of the Atma or abiding in the Swarupam of the Atma, which has become natural now, effortless in Nirvikalpaka Samadhi, because of the previous efforts of Dhyana and Samadhi, Savikalpa Samadhi, now it has become now effortless. So here we see, and what are those features we saw yesterday? First he said, the absolute tranquility of the mind, which is not born of the tranquility of the mind, is born of the understanding of one Swarupam being the very tranquility, which is not dependent on any external situations or anything. We saw that. Then second, the definition he gave was the Atma Darshanam, the Atma Darshanam, and which results in the absolute contentment. The Atma Darshanam is seeing the Atma means what? I mean seeing one Swarupam being pure consciousness, which is definitely distinct from the everything else, even the thoughts. And it's taking ownership of one's Swarupam being consciousness is what actually Atma Darshanam. Atma Darshanam means seeing the Atma means seeing very clearly, doubtlessly, one's real nature being consciousness. And taking ownership of consciousness as one's real self without any doubts is called what? Atma Darshanam. This is the second feature, which is the second, we can take it as second definition of the mental absorption, the Samadhi. And that such taking ownership of one's real Swarupam, consciousness as one's real Swarupam, results in what? The absolute contentment. It is Tushyati, we saw that, Toshaha. Then the third thing we saw was Atyantikam Sukham. Atyantikam Sukham again is what? The limitless, infinite happiness. And Krishna himself makes it very clear, which is distinct from, different from all the time-bound pleasures, states of mind, which one can have as a result of enjoyment of the desirable objects. It is different. This Atyantikam Sukham is born of the knowledge, born of the understanding of one's Swarupam being consciousness, thereby this one understanding of one Swarupam, the consciousness, the happiness being one's own real nature. Here again, one takes ownership of the happiness as one's real nature, not as an object here, and not something, a state of mind which is there as a result of the enjoyment of objects. Isn't it? Atyantikam Sukham. Then the other word we saw was the feature of Samadhi is Tattvataha na chalati. Tattvataha na chalati. means what? One remains steadfast in the vision of the truth as one's own self. One remains steadfast in the vision of the truth being consciousness, and that consciousness for him is not an object, not even a subject, which is one's own self, one's own real nature. Tattvataha na chalati means he does not lose sight of, does not slip away from the consciousness being his self, even in all his transactions. That is the most important thing. The transactions may be so many, he may be in different transactions he is involved in, but in no transaction, even forgetfully also, he does not slip away from his swarupam, so he does not, you know, again, identity does not go back to the ahankara, and it does not go back to the mind or the body, even any situation. That's why not slipping away, not moving away, not losing sight of one's swarupam, you know, even in all the, even when he's involved in all activities, in all situations also. That is called tattva taha nischalanam. It's called sthita prajnas. It's called firm knowledge. Not losing sight of one's real nature being consciousness, even when he happens to involve himself in the worldly transactions. Here, suppose if we go to the circus, we can see this person, there's a person who comes and do lots of gymnastics. Suppose you see a special kind of bicycles, and then which they use, and then to show their skills and to exhibit their talents in the circus. But when they're using, and they will be doing lots of things in gymnastics, but we are so scared that they might fall. But whatever, however they dry, whatever the trick, however tricky the show they represent, but still the person who's involved in that, you know, job, he does not fall, nothing happens to him. And he leaves his two hands, does not hold anything, and he goes, you know, that zigzag person and all, he does lots of things. How is it possible? Because he has trained himself, he must have trained himself for so many months or years before he comes to the show, presents the show. Initially, when he has started that practice, he might have fallen many times. And then, but because of his constant practice, and now he is so clear, even the practice is such that he has so clear that he does not lose, you know, the center of gravity. Whatever he does, carelessly, no laughing, showing everybody, seeing everybody else, not even focusing on his cycle, he will be driving, but still doesn't fall, nothing happens to him. Why? Because he's trained well. He does not lose, he knows where his legs are, where he is, what he's doing. That's called what actually? That's called not losing sight of, you know, one's gravity. Like here also, this person, who is in Nirvikalpaka Samadhi, whose mind is totally absorbed in his Swarupam being consciousness, does not lose, you know, lose sight of his gravity, center of gravity being what? Satchit Ananda Chaitanya, Satchit Ananda Swarupam. Does not lose sight of his Swarupam being consciousness. He is involved in so many transactions, but no transaction ever shakes him, makes him fall. Isn't it? Go away from his swarupam. That's called what we say, sthita prajna, which is said in the second chapter, and here Krishna uses the word tattvataha achalanam, nischalanam, tattvataha na chalati. Okay? Then the next one, this is the fourth feature over. The fifth feature, the fifth definition is adhikaha, see, atyantikaha labaha. Atyantikaha labaha, or I can say, the greatest gain, or you can say greatest benefit, the most exalted of all the benefits, of all the gains one can accomplish through karma, upasanam and or any other jnanam, is what? This is one. Why? Because gaining this, one becomes free from all limitations. And one has a sense of fulfillment. No other accomplishment will give a person a sense of fulfillment. This is this jnanam, atma jnanam, this sthira jnanam, this ascertained vision of Swarupam being consciousness, which is of the nature of fullness. This is the only knowledge, wisdom, which alone will give him a sense of fulfillment. Therefore, there is no greater luxury, greater accomplishment than knowledge, because there is no greater luxury than reveling in fullness also. That's why this is the atyantikaha labaha. This is also, the person has. Then, the same verse, we see, dukhe, guruna api dukhe nana vichalyate. That sentence is another feature of nirvikalpaka samadhi. Na atyantika dukkha nivrittihi. Zatyantika dukkha nivrittihi means what? This person who remains steadfast in the vision of the truth as being consciousness, and the consciousness is his real swarupam, thereby whose I sense is resolved in consciousness, therefore the problems of the anatma does not become his problems. Therefore, because of his objectivity, no situation causes any pain for him. Therefore, there's even the worst of the situations or worst of the tragedy, also nothing can really shake him. There's no such a thing called grief at all for him, because he's completely, absolutely free from sorrow, because he has already taken ownership of happiness as his swarupam, fullness as his very nature of consciousness, which is his self. For him, the self is consciousness, and which is of the nature of fullness, happiness. For what is his swarupam? What is his nature? Fullness is happiness. For such a person, dukkham is not there. Dukkham is not there. This is the, we understood. Then the last feature, the seventh feature we saw last class, let us read that verse now. Tam vidya dukkha sanyoga viyogam yoga samgitam. Tam vidya dukkha sanyoga viyogam yoga samgitam. Sanischayena yoktavyaha yuschayena yoktavyaha yogo nirvinna chetasa. Nirvinna chetasa. If we are not pausing, we can say sanischayena yoktavyo yogo nirvinna chetasa. Chayena yoktavyo yogo nirvinna chetasa. The last, the seventh feature which we just touched yesterday is, what is this yogaha? Now, what is this, yoga, the mental absorption? What is this nirvikalpaka samadhi? He says again, dukkha sanyoga viyogaha is the seventh feature, the seventh definition. In fact, this verse presents this. Dukkha sanyoga viyogaha is again presented as an answer for the doubt caused, which might have been caused by the earlier verse, atyantikam sukham. It was said, it was said earlier, atyantikam sukham means the limitless happiness, the infinite happiness is one's own swarupam, isn't it? So here, Is that sukham created? Does knowledge produce the happiness? See, the person who has the clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of his Swarupam being consciousness, now having that vision of his Swarupam being consciousness, does it produce the happiness? Does happiness come after that vision? The question, doubt might come. We already, it has been said, this person, now he has recognized the happiness as a Swarupam, we have already understood. Still the doubt might come, maybe happiness comes, mokshaha comes after the attainment of knowledge. Which means knowledge produces moksha. Knowledge creates that happiness. That doubt might come. Therefore, here the answer is given. What is that answer? He says, in fact, the happiness is the very swarupam of the consciousness. Because limitlessness is a swarupam of the consciousness, because fullness is a swarupam of consciousness, being full is the nature, swarupam. Being limitless, it is the swarupam. Being happy is, being limitless is what actually being happy, which is a swarupam of the consciousness. And what is consciousness? That is myself. I, the self, am consciousness. This is very clear for this person. That's why I, the self, am consciousness is very clear for him. For the happiness is not produced, it was already there. If something is gained, it will go away again. Anything gained should go away. Therefore, the happiness cannot be gained, it must be already there. If it is already there, it means not as an object, but as the very Swarupam again. See, the fire does not become hot at one particular time or in a given place. Always fire is hot. Everywhere fire is hot, which means the heat of the fire is what? Unconditional. So fire is unconditionally, limitlessly hot. Always it is hot. Everywhere it is hot. And then nothing, no object in the world can make the fire cold also. Similarly here, happiness is what now? It's always there, intrinsic. Similarly, the happiness also is already there. It is not even attained actually. It is not even created or produced. It's already there means, then what does the knowledge do? For that question, the answer is given here as a seventh feature of Nirvikalpaka Samadhi, the mental absorption. What is it? Dukkha Sanyoga Viyogaha. He says, the sorrow which is the anatma dharma. Sorrow is a state of mind. Isn't it? This sorrow is superimposed upon the atma swarupam because of the ignorance. Isn't it? So in knowledge, when the ignorance is resolved, knowledge only removes the superimposed sorrow. Knowledge does not create happiness. Knowledge only helps, knowledge resolves, knowledge removes the sorrow superimposed upon the Atma Swarupam, Atma. How? By correcting the error in the perception of oneself. Simple thing. Is it Adhyaropaha? Aham dukhi, isn't it? Dukkham is what? Dukkham is a state of mind. And it belongs to what then? Mind. So that dukkham is there, isn't it? But that dukkham is what identified with what? Now, when person identifies oneself with the mind, then there is aham dukhi. I am sorrowful. When in ignorance, one cannot be objective towards the sorrow. One internalizes the sorrow as one's own. Isn't it? Because of the ignorance, because of the erroneous perception of oneself, there is superimposition of the manodharma, the attribute of the mind, the sorrow, upon oneself. isn't it? Therefore, there is sorrow. Now, the happiness is not produced here. The jnanam, the knowledge, in knowledge, ajnanam results. In ignorance results, then ignorance caused error in the perception of oneself also gets resolved. Then the sorrow, which is superimposed upon the Atma, Atma Swarupam, is actually removed. Even sorrow is not removed. The superimposition of the Atma, isn't it? That is resolved. So resolution of the superimposition of the sorrow upon the Atma is what? Removal of the Atma. No? Atma being free from sorrow is understood. Understanding Atma being free from sorrow is actually what? Taking ownership of the happiness which is already there. What was that, what that blocked, that really prevented you? What was it which prevented you from taking ownership of happiness which is it's already there? What is that? It is the sorrow, which is no, the sorrow superimposed upon the Atma actually prevented you from taking ownership of happiness. When the sorrow superimposition is resolved, then the happiness is being the Swarupam becomes very clear. Therefore, here in that's why we say that is called Dukkha Sanyoga Viyogaha. Knowledge, this knowledge helps you dissociate oneself from the association with the sorrow. Okay, dissociation from association with the sorrow is what? Resolving the sorrow as a superimposed attribute, isn't it? Is in fact take ownership of happiness which is already there. For tam vidyat dukkha sanyoga viyogaha. Then, therefore what now? Having presented these seven features as seven definitions of the samadhi, just to understand as the benefit of, in fact, benefit of practicing Ashtanga Yoga. Because I already told you, Nirvikalpaka Samadhi is a culmination of the practice of Ashtanga Yoga, especially Dharana Dhyana Samadhi. And it is also very clear this Nididhyasanam does not create the knowledge, does not give the knowledge, does not help us resolve the ignorance. It only, Nirvikalpaka Nididhyasanam is only for assimilating the knowledge which we have already gained through Shravanam. Therefore, he says, Saha Yogaha Nischayena Yoktavyaha. That yoga must be definitely practiced. What yoga here? So this, the Ashtanga Yoga means what here? The Nididhyasanam, this meditation must be definitely, choicelessly practiced. Why contemplation is important here? He emphasizes contemplation is a must. Nischayena Yoktavyaha. That contemplation must be practiced. No, how? Why should it be practiced? Otherwise, whatever we hear, how much ever we hear, that becomes the unassimilated knowledge also does not serve the purpose. We cannot enjoy the benefit of knowledge. Shravanam can help us resolve the ignorance, blesses with the knowledge. But Shravanam is only for the attainment of knowledge. But for the enjoying the benefit of knowledge, we need Nididhyasanam. Is it clear? What do we need contemplation for? Contemplation is not for resolving the ignorance. Contemplation is not for the attainment of knowledge. Contemplation is for enjoying the benefit of knowledge. If you want to enjoy the benefit, then one must we must practice contemplation. One must dwell upon one's own swarupam. That's why what is to be understood here is, what should be remembered here is, you know, that is, Shravanam is a must. Shravanam is a must means what? One must have done the Shravanam. A Vedantic student who has done the Shravanam, has gone through systematic study of Vedanta Shastram under the guidance of a competent teacher for a length of time, who has understood the teaching very clearly, he alone can contemplate. He alone can dwell upon the Atma Swarupam, because in Nididhyasanam, here meditation is not objective meditation, the very subjective meditation, because here meditation is what? Meditation is of the Swarupam of the very meditator. Therefore, one should know one Swarupam very clearly. Only then one can dwell upon the Swarupam. So, Saha Nischayena Yoktavyaha means this very statement emphasizes what? One must have done Shravanam, one must have got one's ignorance resolved, one must have understood one's Swarupam being consciousness very clearly, doubtlessly. Then one must repeatedly dwell upon that Swarupam. No, then repeatedly, then abide in one Swarupam. That's the only way one can enjoy the benefit of the knowledge. That's why how one should do it? Anirvinna Chetasa. Anirvinna Chetasa means with the Chetas means mind, with the mind. What should you use to meditate? Because when the very word meditation implies what? Manasa Vyaparaha, isn't it? Now, Manasa Vyaparaha, mental activity. You physically don't need to do anything here. Worldly don't need to do anything here. Your mind alone should be involved here. That is why Chetasa, but with which mind? Not the mind without any interest or with disinterested mind. Or, you know, frustrated mind, no? Without any frustration, without any dejection, without how long should they be counted, without any, you know, whether any disinterest, with highly enthusiastic, serious, isn't it? Mind, with highly optimistic, with the mind, one should practice this meditation. Anirvinna Chetasa. Saha yogaha nischayena yoktavyaha. Definitely it must be practiced. Yogaha yoktavyaha means that atma dhyanam must be practiced to enjoy the benefit of meditation. This is definitely the Krishna's very, very emphatic advice. Emphatic advice, no, really, to the students. So, having discussed the benefit of the practice of Ashtanga Yoga, especially Dhyanam, no, benefit of meditation, how the meditation, practice of meditation, Atma Dhyanam, the contemplation, results in the culminates in the Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. Having discussed that, now again Krishna is not satisfied with what he has taught, and he really wants to teach us how we should do the Nididhyasanam, which means again he wants to reinforce the teaching. Isn't it? How meditation should be practiced. Here meditation is not objective meditation, it is subjective meditation. It is not just the upasanam, it is nididhyasanam. It is not anatma dhyanam, it is not saguna brahma dhyanam, it is atma swarupa anusandhanam. Swarupa anusandhanam. And this swarupam one must have already understood. Isn't it? Through Shravanam. Repeatedly we have to know this fact. Remember this fact. Now, how should I practice contemplation? How I can do Atmadhyanam, Atmaswarupa Anusandhanam? How I can repeatedly, how I can be successful in that? He says here, first what we should do, he says now. Sankalpa Prabhavan Kaman. Paprabhavan Kaman. Tyaktva Sarvana Seshataha. Tyaktva Sarvana Seshataha. Manasaivendriya Gramam. Manasaivendriya Gramam. Viniyamya Samantataha. Viniyamya Samantataha. Sankalpa Prabhavan Kaman. Sankalpa Prabhavan Kaman. Tyaktva Sarvana Seshataha. Tyaktva Sarvana Seshataha. Manasaivendriya Gramam. Vendriya Gramam. Viniyamya Samantataha. Viniyamya Samantataha. It has to be continued, the following verse. Shanai Shanai Ruparamet. Shanai Ruparamet. Buddhya Dhriti Grihitaya. Buddhya Dhriti Grihitaya. Atma samstham manah kritva. Atma samstham manah kritva. Na kinchidapi chintayet. Na kinchidapi chintayet. So here, kaman sarvan aseshataha tyaktva. Sankalpa prabhavan kaman sarvan aseshataha tyaktva. Tyaktva means what? Literally it means giving up. So here, turning the mind, turning the attention, aseshataha totally, turning the attention totally away from all the external world of objects. Turning the external world of objects, turning the attention away from the external world of objects means totally, aseshataha, completely. So at least when you want to dwell upon your swarupam, which you have clearly understood through Shravanam in the class, and now there is a time, now you want to focus attention on what you have already understood, you want to relive the teaching now. So, which means your mind cannot be scattered all over, isn't it? See, definitely mind is, in spite of having done the Shravanam, in spite of having understood also, it is very natural for the mind to be diverted, to be distracted, to be scattered, isn't it? Therefore, here, the asesh tyaktva means what now? Turning the attention, no, the scattered attention, collecting it, bringing the attention together, bringing it back together. So turning the attention away totally from all the objects, external world of objects. Which means what? Anatma prapancha. Aseshataha. Sarvan kaman aseshataha tyaktva. Means turn the attention away from the world. Anatma means here what now? Even the body. And attention even from the body to the mind. Even from the mind also. Understand? So which means, those objects here, you have to understand more thing. Sankalpa prabhavaha. So sankalpa prabhavaha means what? What is sankalpa here? No? Not even entertaining the thoughts. See, turning the attention away from the world of objects means not paying attention to the objects. Not paying attention to the objects means what? Not entertaining thoughts dealing with those objects. Is it clear? Not entertaining thoughts pertaining to the external world of objects is what? Not paying attention. This is called what? Turning the attention away from the objects. Aseshataha, entirely, totally, completely turning the attention from sarvan kaman aseshataha tyaktva. Isn't it? The sankalpa prabhavan, which means when the attention is not paid, that object is not there for you. This is called taking the mind, turning the mind away from the objects. Any object enjoys existence only if you pay attention to it. It's called what? Aseshataha tyaktva. So sankalpa prabhava means actually not even allowing, because thoughts do arise, you cannot prevent the thoughts from rising. Because what say do you have? You have no say over the rising of your thoughts. Thoughts do rise. There are certain thoughts which you have say over, certain thoughts which you don't have any say at all. The thoughts rise, actually in the very beginning itself, just not paying attention to the very thought itself. The thought dealing with the object might rise, but you don't pay attention to the very thought. It's called what now? Sankalpa. See, the thought which rises, when it is encouraged by me, that becomes what? It's called sankalpa. Yet the thought which has the encouraged, that which encouraged by me is called sankalpa. The thought which rises, which is not encouraged, which doesn't have my support, my involvement, it is what? Unencouraged, unsupported thought becomes what? A weak thought. A thought becomes strong only if it is encouraged and supported, you know, if my involvement is there with the thought. Therefore, thoughts do rise. But thoughts, when they rise, they are very weak thoughts. They are not strong. Note, only one thought alone rises, that thought does not become really a strong thought. In fact, if we ask me, suppose we have all these different emotions such as hatred. So hatred, suddenly one thought does not rise and become a hatred, isn't it? Always the hatred, the anger, the jealousy, even the strong likes and strong like dislikes or desires, they're all actually built up thoughts. Built up. Because when the thoughts rise and I pay attention, I encourage, I support the thought, then I go ahead with that and then I allow the thoughts, then the more and more thoughts come, they become what now? Stronger and stronger. Then we have strong thoughts in terms of jealousy, anger, hate, all built up thoughts. One thought suddenly does not become that anger, hatred. Like that, no such thoughts do not rise like that. Thoughts do rise, very weak thoughts, but they can continue to be there, they can formulate, they can become strong thoughts in the form of, in terms of anger, desire, etc., only if they are encouraged by me. In the sense, if I pay attention, if I encourage, I support the thoughts. The supported, encouraged, strong thought is called what? Sankalpa prabhavaha. Understand? So even when as the thoughts rise of the objects, even then itself, by not paying attention, ignoring the thoughts in themselves, by way of ignoring the thoughts, not paying attention to the thoughts, taking care of the thoughts, then take the attention away from the objects. something beautiful. Hope you understand this. So, sankalpa prabhavan sarvan kaman aseshataha tyaktva. Tyaktva. See, so sarve kamaha sankalpa prabhavaha, isn't it? All these desires, all these objects, no, desires actually, for the objects of the world also, is what? No, sankalpa prabhavaha, encouraged, the thoughts encouraged by oneself alone become strong thoughts. But turning these thoughts, the very initially itself, without encouraging them, one can't take attention away from the objects, the world of objective world, anatma prapancha. See, if there is a small, you know, the small, tiny little glow of fire, you see some small spark of fire, and then if the wind blows, it can get into a huge conflagration also. How much was the fire there before? Just a spark of fire. The spark of fire, the fan by the wind, can become a huge conflagration. Isn't it? Therefore, similarly, the thoughts when they rise, they are very weak like a spark of fire. When our encouragement fans, that the flame, that small spark of thought, because what now? The strong, powerful thoughts, like, you know, destructive, like fire, like. We can say, even if we see the ponds, etc., even if the ponds, suppose the lakes, we can see the water in the lake. And then, when there is a really breeze, cool breeze is blowing, there's a breeze, you can see small ripples getting formed. No, small ripples get formed. The small ripples just come and go. But as the wind blows, no, you can see the more wind blows, the same ripples, no, they roll and become what? Big waves. For the small ripples to form into big waves, there must be what? There's a continuous blowing of the wind. So the continuous, how as the wind is blowing, how the ripples form big waves, so also the weak thoughts which rise become really strong thoughts only when they are supported by our own will, our own, isn't it? When we pay attention. So here it is possible for a Vedantic student, is it possible for a Vedantic student not to encourage his own thoughts? Otherwise, it is very easy. That is why simple people cannot do this. That's why teaching is so important. One needs a tremendous will also. Therefore, here, Sankalpa, Krishna says, may one, even as the thoughts rise, in the very beginning itself, may it turn the attention from even those thoughts. Without the thoughts rising, there can't be objects. Attention will not go to the objects outside. Isn't it? Therefore, Sarvan Kaman Sankalpa Prabhavan Aseshataha Tyaktva. Means what? Turning the attention away even when they are in the form of the thoughts. As they rise from the thoughts, attention from the very objects. Manasa eva indriya gramam viniyamya samantataha. Samantataha means completely, totally viniyamya, having withdrawn, literally means having control, having withdrawn indriya gramam, having withdrawn the sense powers also from the respective sense objects. So indriya gramam viniyamya samantataha. So totally taking the sense organs away from their objects. How? having withdrawn the sense powers also, Indriya Grama means all the sense powers. Indriya Grama means the group, of sense, all these five sense organs from their objects. How manasayeva, having withdrawn the attention. Manasa means having withdrawn the attention, having turned the senses away from the objects. First withdraw the attention, turn the attention away, then the sense has also become withdrawn from the objects. There is no way of withdrawing the senses from the objects without turning attention away from the objects. So turn the attention away from the objects, thereby turn the sense organs also from their objects. This is called what? Having mastery over senses and the mind. So having disciplined both sense organs and the mind. Is it clear now? The only incomplete sentence. We have to go to the next one. This is the what I should do for contemplation. Isn't it? Because there is no object of meditation is prescribed for you here. You know very well what you should dwell upon. The all your attention, totally, collectively, now single-pointedly, I can say here, single-pointedly, totally, collectively, all attention must be available only for dwelling upon one's own swarupam. That is why samantataha, totally, aseshataha, entirely, completely, taking the attention away from all the objects, resolving in the, even how with, from the very, as the thoughts rise themselves, the attention away, so turn the attention away, thereby also turning the sense organs away. Now what does he mean now? Attention is totally available. It has been taken away. You can't say, very little attention is somewhere there. You can't say that. That's why these adverbs were very important. Aseshataha, samantataha, isn't it? Which means for a meditator, for atma dhyana, for atma dhyata, for the one who is contemplating upon one's own swarupam, no object should exist. Which means what? Object, world exists. Your attention is turned away means, where is the world for you? Then where can you, because you're conscious, you're not asleep. So where can you place? Only two things. Attention is taken away from anatma means, where should the attention be focused then? Atma. Isn't it? So here he says now, Shanaihi shanaihi uparamet. Buddhya dhriti grihitaya. Shanaihi shanaihi uparamet. Means what? The shanaihi, again indeclinable word here, which means what of shanaihi? Gradually. Gradually means what? Not immediately, quickly, in a hurry. Now, how one's attention should be taken to the one swarupam? The attention is taken away from anatma objects means immediately attention has been taken away, but even after taking the attention away from the objects also, one should gradually only take the attention to the Atma. Not immediately. This shanehi shanehi uparamet means may one gradually abide, is it? May one withdraw, abide in one's mind, uparamet. So what he says is, see, we have to shift the attention from the grossest, the inert material world of objects to the subtlest Atma, the consciousness. Isn't it? The attention has to be taken from where? From the Anatma to Atma. But the grossest to the subtlest. When you have to shift, because you are going to abide there, the mind has to abide, dwell there means, it has to be taken gradually, shanehi, shanehi. Suppose if there is a room upstairs, and you are sitting here, and then suppose you are an expert in long jumping, you always won many medals and then prizes. So you have one small, long, no? Become a stick and hold on to one thing and then just jump and go. You can't do that. Even though you are a champion in long jump and then high jump and all that, when you come home, you don't go to upstairs in one jump. It's like Trivikram Avatara, you can't do that. What you need to do is, there is something called staircase. You can run fast in steps, but still you have to go step by step, go to the room. If you're in a hurry, if you jump, you'll fall and break, you'll cause damage to your own body and also to the staircase. It will break also. That's why we always go carefully. Similarly here also, when you have to bring your attention from the grossest universe, material universe, to the subtlest Atma, the consciousness, also you have to gradually, step by step, bring the attention. That is why we say what? To do this, it's called what now? Atma Swarupa Vicharaha, which you have already done in Shravanam, that you have to do it here. Atma Swarupa Vichara, how do we do now? Swarupa Vichara, no? Here, this Atma Swarupa Vichara, or through Panchakosha Prakriya, Avastatriya Prakriya, Driktrishiveka Prakriya, you have understood already that you are redoing it here. The Shanehi, Shanehi, gradually. Now, your attention is not in any objects, attention is in the teaching. What is the teaching here? The teaching, no? Teaching looks at the whole, everything else as anatma here. Anatma involves what now? That the three factors which constitute the anatma. The external world of objects. The entire external world of objects is anatma, one. Then you come to your own physical body, then your mind. So one's own mind, one's own physical body, and rest of the entire external world of objects, these three factors constitute anatma, anatma prapancha. So here you start with the external world, isn't it? So you really see the external world of objects. Everything in this external world is what now? Material, elemental. And everything is subject to change. Nothing is permanent here. Because we already studied the nature of the anatma, nature of the matter. Because everything being inert material product here, no object is going to be there permanently. So that is the nature. So relying upon any object for my security, for my happiness, for my, you know, fulfillment also, it'll be like leaning on something which is not really there. See, thinking there's a chair, if I go to sit, there's no chair there. So leaning on this world which is by itself inert and independent is of no use. Definitely, there is no happiness in this world, there's no security in this world. Even if the world is not responsible for my unhappiness, definitely the world is not source of happiness also. So this is the understanding. So you slowly, what now? Now you then bring the attention. Okay, now take the attention. The world is not a source of happiness, source of security. bring the attention to sort of anatma, negate the anatma. Then come to, this is seeing, then come to the shariram. When you come to the body, like pancha kosha, you know, you have to remember the pancha koshas. See the each kosha. Go, stay in each kosha. Analyze, understand, remember what this annamaya koshaha is, what this physical body is called shanaihi shanaihi. Okay? In fact, in the teaching, we have the Shakha Chandra Nyayaha, or you can say Arundhati Darshana Nyaya. These Nyayas are followed here. Shakha Chandra Nyaya, how you see the digit, third day digit of the moon, isn't it? You don't see directly, you go step by step. And also Arundhati Darshanam, even the tiniest stars, you have to see on the wedding day, the bride in the bedroom are asked to see the Arundhati Darshanam, have the Arundhati Darshanam, to see that you, nobody can see directly. Somebody who has seen has to say certain, you know, steps, how to somehow have that darshan. Here also similarly what happens, here you negate the jagat, then come to it, not as an object alone, see the understanding, seeing the fact about the world, isn't it? See, without any hesitation, without any biased notion, there is no learning to understand the fact, remembering the fact about the world. What this world can do, what this world cannot do, what is this world meant for? The world is there for my enjoyment, definitely. But the world is meant for my enjoyment. It has been given, beautiful, nice. At the same time, it is not to get stuck with the world meant for enjoyment. Enjoyment, world is given for my enjoyment means for me to enjoy, to learn and to grow. Isn't it? If I don't, after enjoyment, if I don't learn and grow, then the living in this world even has not even served that purpose. My living in this world, enjoyment of this world must have given me, what now? That lesson that I have lived here, I have enjoyed this world of objects, I have understood, isn't it? I have learned and I have grown also out of desire for these things. Then you come to the body. Once you come to the body again, see what this body is all about. How this body is, physical body. You know definitely now, Shravanam you have done. You already know very well your consciousness. But you forget that not this is not helpful for you. Because now it is for ascertainment, isn't it? This is all preparation for meditation. How you can abide in yourself. Don't go directly. Because again, it will be pulling you. It's all for strengthening, isn't it? That's why, understand the nature of this body. How this body is subject to these modifications. It had a birth, and it keeps growing. It keeps decaying, and definitely it's going to get disintegrated one day. It's going to fall apart. The minute the sukshma leaves, this body is of no use. This body cannot be a bhogayatanam. We can be thankful to Bhagavan that we are blessed with this body, which is bhogayatanam. What is this body? This body has been given. Given for my enjoyment, isn't it? For my use. So I can only claim what? I can use it. I can be here, I can use it, but I can't claim it. Is it clear? Unfortunately, we are claiming what we should not claim, and we resist to claim what we should actually claim. This is the problem. So have it, enjoy it means, but we have to learn not to claim this body also, isn't it? This physical body. Then from here, shift the attention from where? From to go to prana. And see what pranas are. already understood in Taittiri Upanishad, isn't it? What pranas are. It's a beautiful thing. All the functions are so beautiful, because of which I am able to be in this body, survive here, enjoy the energy. Isn't all that I need for enjoyment? The energy I need for enjoyment because of these functions. So then go from prana to mana, manomaya. See what this mind is all about. Then go from there to vijnanamaya. Go from there to even anandamaya. I'm not going to do that now here. I'm just telling you here. Then when the body comes also, immediately what happens, when you come to the body and all the objects, the people, the things, the places associated with the body may come and distract us. The people, husband or wife or children or relatives or friends, immediately mind may go. Suppose if I am not there, what will they do? How will they survive? See, doing a duty with concern is different. But thinking that without me, they cannot survive. I have to be there forever. Isn't it? Really speaking, without our support, without our help, you can do your duty, that's a good thing. But still, without me, what will they do? How will they live their lives? That is something our fancy thinking, really speaking, that's not true. So, all those things will come. And here, what should you do? This also understand again of the world also. Okay, from the world, this is my own body. This from here again, understand this body. It is been given to me for my use as an abode of enjoyment. I can use it, but I can't claim it. I can't take it. Isn't it mine? Because there is strong mamakaraha. There is ahankaraha. Isn't it? I sense, my sense. Dehatma buddhi is there. I am the body is there. And then this my body is also there. Where is mine? Which is yours? Isn't it? Or you can say, he is mine, she is mine, I am yours, you are mine, this is mine, they are ours. Isn't it? This I sense, my sense, aham bhavaha, mamakaraha, ahankaraha, mamakaraha. And then this is deha, because of the dehatma buddhi. Isn't it? It's all, really speaking, nothing we own here, including our body. So we are given here, we are blessed to enjoy this body. We are blessed with this body for our enjoyment. Minus this body, there is no enjoyment, there is no life. Therefore, we can be thankful to Bhagavan in the form of law and order. We can say everything belongs to Bhagavan. Even we ourselves belong to Bhagavan. Only in jnanam we can say there is no belonging to Bhagavan. Everything, I am Bhagavan, you can say later on. But till then, this fact also must be understood. In relative context, everything, if at all I can say, I have any sambandha only with Paramatma. And later on, there is no sambandha also. You have to solve sambandha with Bhagavan also. Initially you say that. Because nothing I can really own as mine, to be frank. Even body, you cannot say it is mine. It is given to you for use. It is given to me by Bhagavan. It's Bhagavan's blessing. That's different. It is my body means that's mamakara. That is why, Rataji, we say this is causing any pain to the your own physical body is also papam. Not really causing pain to other living beings. Causing pain to your own physical body, my own physical, that's why committing a suicide is a papa. This body which has been given to you, even though it is your own body, still if you cause pain to yourself, it's a papa. In my body, it's not your body. Let me pinch my body or hit my body or suppose burn my body. If you say, it is a papa karma because it is not your possession. Understand? It has been given to you to maintain it. Maintain well, enjoy it, and then quit and go. Understand? this must be, this God what? No, this is the body. And then people, things connected to, associated with this body also what? If my, this body itself doesn't belong to me, it means what about the other people? What say do we have over anything here? Understand? It's very, very important. From here, then go to the, like this when you go step by step, it's called Shanaihi, Shanaihi Uparamanam. Gradually taking oneself to finally abide in one's own Swarupam. Attention now. Then what the pranas are given to me, mind is given to me, intellect is given to me. Understand now? Even the knowledge that I am is also what? It's all Ishvara. It's all Ishvara, the law and order here. And finally go there. Then you see your mind also. What is this intellect, isn't it? Like negating, then Shanaihi, Shanaihi, Uparamet. How do you do that? No, Dhriti Grihitaya Buddhya. May one gradually take the attention of the mind step by step from, you know, from negating each kosha and analyzing, understanding each kosha, each layer of personality may one take. Because this is like a journey. Taking one's attention from analyzing, see, you place attention in each layer of personality, pay attention, give some time, analyze, then shift the attention from there, isn't it? When you analyze each layer of personality, where attention is there, placed in each layer of personality, it is possible for the mind attention to get stuck there, isn't it? Therefore, here the attention without getting stuck, without allowing the attention to get stuck with each layer of personality during the analysis, this going through this analyzing this each layer of personality is also like a journey, isn't it? A spiritual journey. You're taking one by one here, negating here, seeing the limitation, seeing the problem, seeing what it is. Isn't it? So here, that way, Dhriti Grihita Buddhihi. How do you do this? Not ordinary, with an ordinary thing, with an intellect which has the strength of the clarity born of the understanding of the teaching. Dhritihi means what? Dhriti Grihita Buddhihi. The Buddhihi, the intellect with the strength. The intellect with the strength of the clarity born of the understanding of the teaching. Shravanam you have done already. Isn't it? That helps you here. Then not only that, the strong will. The strong will, the strength of the will, the strength of the intellect has the strength of the willpower and strength of the knowledge, strength of the clarity born, the understanding of the teaching. This is the dhriti here, understand? This has the strength. And because of the strength of the willpower, because the strength of the clarity, or the understanding of the teaching, what happens now? This interest in the analysis, isn't it? This journey, interest in the analysis of this each layer of personality, is sustained. Otherwise, what happened? Even analyzing, no? Such a boring thing. Who will do all these things? Is it true? Because one may lose interest. So it has to be sustained. So without losing one's heart, without any distraction, without any problem, now wholeheartedly, the focus attention. One has to involve oneself in this analysis and then see, understand the limitations, understand what it is, and from there, this has to be sustained, isn't it? Right? With the strong, with the intellect, with the strong willpower and the strong strength of knowledge of the understanding of knowledge of the teaching. With that, dhritigrihitaya buddhya shanaihi shanaihi uparamet. Because in understanding each layer of personality, I see very clearly how I, the self, am definitely not the abode of enjoyment which is given for my use. I am not that. It is not that you don't know. Shravanam itself has given you the knowledge. It's what are you doing it for? Again, the mind should not run back to this body. That is why. When you sit, when you attention is taken to the taken for dwelling upon one's own sarupam, attention may again go back to the body. That is why even before even going before take the attention to the meditation, contemplation, even now we make it very clear. That's why dhriti grihitaya buddhya. Atma samstam manaha karanam. Manaha kritva. Now finally what should you do? Having shifted the attention gradually, properly, thoroughly analyzing each layer of, isn't it, the personality, finally the higher personality, the real person, take attention to Atma, the all-pervasive, only reality obtaining as the truth of in the innermost essence of every being, which is the very self, which is the actually I, substance of the substantive I, Atma samstham, manaha kritva. So placing attention in the mind, Atma swarupam, Atma samstham manaha means what now? The mind attention which has been placed in the Atma swarupam. And which mind now? Manaha kritva. Is it clear now? Atma samstham manaha karana means what? Abiding in one's own swarupam. When you place the attention, then what? Kinchidapi na chintayet. Not thinking of any anatma here. Anything in the world, not any other thought, no other thought, no other thought, not entertaining any thought pertaining to any anatma. Kinchidapi na chintayet. There is no jagat, there is no body, there is no other thoughts. Kinchidapi na chintayet. Understand? So what is given for my use? If you understand, somebody gives you something for using. Suppose your car is broken. Somebody comes and gives the car to you. Okay, please, you are my friend. Use this car for a week and once your car is ready and you give me car back to me, I can take it back. That person is very kind and he sees you the struggling without a vehicle, so he gives you the car for your use for one. Anyway, I'm not going out anywhere. Please use my car. But what you say after 1 week's time, I like the car very much. It's very comfortable for me. So I think why don't you buy another one or let me have it? You see, this car, isn't it? Very unruly. Bhagavan's drishti, any harm we do with the physical body also, taking it as my eyes, first of all you take it as I, then take it as mine. You can't even say mine. Where are you? Understand? And this is called understanding carefully. So place the attention, analyze, understand what it is, understand how you are not this, how it is anatma. It is how can you place I there? This helps you to shift the I sense from gradually, don't quickly drag it. Gradually take it from each layer of personality, shift it, see the fact. Because we understand very clearly, I'm bored with these lessons, I know this very clearly. If you know me, then there should be here, it must reflect. I understood very well, I know I'm not the body. But how is the behavior? The behavior which reflects in our day-to-day life is like, as though we are the body, we are the pranas. That is why here is what, because you simply say you know, but it has not been assimilated. In assimilation means if this it has been assimilated, there'll be it's not mere you have not merely collected the information, collected the data. Understand? The collection of information itself is not our aim. Shravanam has helped you collect all the information you need, but collected information should contribute for what? The transformation of personality through the confirmation of the information, isn't it? The information you have collected must have the confirmation. Then it should result in the transformation of personality. But here, the personality is not transformed because it seems the information you have collected is still not confirmed for you. Isn't it? That is why shanaihi shanaihi uparamanam. Understand? Why shanaihi? Don't jump. Don't be in a hurry. Don't say, I know. I don't shavanam, I know. See, we get tired of listening. How many times do you say, we know this, please go to something else. Something else, what do you want? That's why, in fact, you don't need too many Upanishads. One Upanishad is enough. One Upanishad who understood, take it seriously what the Shastra says. Has the teaching sunk in or not? Even Swamiji gave this example one day. It seems, Chinmayananda used to say, it seems. I have gone through many Upanishads. And Chinmayananda used to ask, it seems, how many Upanishads have gone through you? I heard Swamiji telling this. As example, his talks. Now, why I'm saying here is not that we need to study so many Upanishads also. Which means this is a fact which you have understood means it should reflect in our day-to-day life. In all our situations when we face. Which means the information has been gathered, but we don't know whether it has been confirmed as a confirmation. If there is a confirmation of the information, there must have been transformation of the personality, which is not there. Therefore, shanaihi shanaihi uparamet. What you have understood, now slowly, gradually. Because during shravanam, you have eaten fast. Like a cow, has eaten the grass. And it has to chew the cud, isn't it? And you have to bring it back, chew it slowly, using all its saliva. Like that you also need the chewing so that it becomes digested. So how much food you eat is not important. How much your intestines are able to absorb and digest and absorb is more important. Isn't it? You have eaten a lot of food because of some problem in the tummy. Nothing gets digested or absorbed. It all goes to the other hole means it's all wasted. You'd be weak. You are not strong. Similarly, here also the teaching has to be assimilated, means what he says, don't be in a hurry. Atma samstam manaha kritva means so placing the mind, having done the mind, placed in the atma means, but now having placed the attention in the atma sarupam. How? Upar shanaihi shanaihi uparamet. You bring the attention from all the objects, place the attention in the Atma Sarupam, then gradually you bring it. Dhriti Grihitaya Buddhya. because don't lose. Now, half the way you should not break the journey and go. Isn't it? That's why dhritigrihitaya buddhya and na kinchidapi chintayet. Without thinking, na kinchidapi chintayet means what? Not thinking of anything else. Now, what is the only object of your dwelling? Atma Swarupam. How have you come to this? Having clear, slowly, gradually taken, analyzing the world, understanding the world as an external object, coming to the body, even seeing the body as not even I, not even mine. Now I resolve the I sense and my sense in the body. Isn't it? I have shifted the my sense also. No, not just the I sense. Shifted the my sense also. It is all Bhagavans. It's all Ishwaras. Like that, you shifted the my sense, not even in the body, in the external world. My sense, the sense of possession also, the possessiveness also I have shifted now. Nothing I can claim here as mine. Not even your body. Think of then possessing your children, being possessive of our children. We're doing our duties with concern is different from being obsessed with notions that without me they cannot survive. Isn't it? That is something. Manaha kritva nakinchidapi chintayet. Okay. Then what happens? When the mind now is, attention is now paid in the placed in the Atma Swarupam, then you dwell upon the Atma Swarupam. How? Like understanding this, the I, the self, am pure consciousness. Aham Chit Swarupaha. Chaitanyam, which is the very existence of everything here, and which is of the nature of limitlessness, fullness. And this dwelling, this is, then we go to different features also of the Atma, which you've already understood through Shravanam. Isn't it? Therefore, the attention of the mind can be changed. You know, the thoughts can be changed from one feature of the Atma to another feature of the Atma, but it cannot change from Atma to Anatma, isn't it? So you can take the Asangaha, you can say how the untaintedness is the relationlessness, is the Swarupam of the Atma, or all pervasiveness is the Swarupam of the Atma. A timelessness being the Swarupam of the Atma. And formlessness being the Swarupam of the Atma. Changelessness being the Swarupam of the Atma. Like that, how Atma is Nityaha, Shuddha, Nirvikaraha, Niranjanaha, Advayaha, Ekaha. Like this, then seeing the meaning of the words, seeing the nature of oneself, as revealed by the words of the Shastram, unfolded by the teacher during the Shravanam. This is called what? Atma Samstam Manaha Kritva. When one has to dwell upon one's own real Swarupam, then what do we have now? Then Vijatiya Pratyaya Anantarita Sajatiya Pratyaya Pravahaha you have. Is it clear now? Vijatiya Pratyaya Anantarita Sajatiya Pratyaya Pravahaha. You are dwelling upon the Atma Swarupa means what? That you are one by one, you are dwelling upon the different features of the Atma. Isn't it? Then, this is called what now? Akhandakara Vrittihi. Akhandakara Vrittihi means what? One constant, continuous, unbroken flow of thoughts dealing with different features of the Atma. See, the thought attention can be shifted from one feature of the Atma to other feature of the Atma, but not on Atma. Is it clear? See, akhanda akara vrittihi means what? The flow of thoughts is not broken. So, unbroken, continuous flow of thoughts dealing with different features of the Atma. As Atma asanga, aham asangaha, I the consciousness am of the nature of untaintedness, I the consciousness am of the nature of relationlessness, I the consciousness am of the nature of all pervasiveness, I the consciousness am of the nature of timelessness, I the consciousness am of the nature of fullness, I the consciousness am of the nature of existence, I the consciousness am of the nature of formlessness, dwelling here. It's called what? Atma samstam manasaha karanam. Okay? Manaha kritva. Then, as you are entertaining the thoughts pertaining to or dealing with the Atma Swarupam, then what happens? Attention will not stay. Attention will go somewhere, isn't it? Then what should we do?
Yato yato nischarati, yato yato nischarati, manaschanchalamasthiram, manaschanchalamasthiram, tatastato niyam yaitat, tatastato niyam yaitat, atmanyeva vasham nayet, manyeva vasham nayet.
So when you try to focus your attention upon the Atma Swarupam, because of the nature of the mind, you know, the mind attention may move away, slip away from Atma Swarupam. Because manaha chanchalam asthiram manaha. Chanchalam, very unsteady of the fickle mind. The mind is of the nature of agitation. It's always in a state of flux. This is chanchalam, the fickle. No, it will quickly go from one thing to the other. That's the nature. This is for chanchalam, then asthiram, very unsteady. Mind cannot be steady. So unsteady, the fickle mind. Yataha yataha nischarati. Whenever, from where, it whichever feature, no, it goes away from the Atma. Yataha yataha nischarati. Whenever it slips away from Atma Swarupam, but because of your Shraddha, you will be able to make out whenever the attention goes away. What should you do immediately? Tataha tataha niyamya. Tataha niyamya means what now? Wherever it has gone from there and there, what should you do? Niyamya, withdrawing. You know, bringing the attention, Atma samstam, Atma, he says now, Atmanyeva vasham nayet. Atmani eva vasham nayet. So may one try to bring the mind attention back to the Atma. You have to understand one thing. The mind does not go away anywhere. Where does the mind go? Mind is always here only. The day mind goes out of the body, that is a different problem, isn't it? When the mind leaves the body, that is a proper departure. Death. But here mind can never go anywhere. As long as Paradha is so strong, the mind will not leave. The mind will not leave. I mean, this person may be in coma also for many years, but still nobody can kill him. Even on the ventilation, he'll be there. Mind will not go. Mind will go only when the Paradha ends. But when we say the manaha yataha yataha nischarati means what? Who goes here? The attention of the mind, no? The thought we entertain. The other thought can come dealing with some other object. Askar what? No, this is, you know, this is vijatiya pratyayas can arise. Vijatiya pratyaya, I mean, what are thoughts dealing with dissimilar thoughts, the thoughts dealing with other things, anything other than Atma may come suddenly. Because, isn't it? That's called what we say, yataha yataha nischarati. Now the mind does not go, attention may get shifted from Atma, slip away from Atma Sarupam to some other object, isn't it? That's called yataha yataha nischarati, tataha tataha niyamya. From there, from wherever it has gone to, from there, the withdrawing, bringing the attention back. Niyamya means what? Control, literally, but we don't control here. The carefully bringing the attention back to the, what now? Atmani eva vasham nayet. Bring the attention back to the Atma Swarupam which you were dwelling upon. Atman eva vasham nayet. So I think an important verse follows, which we'll see tomorrow morning. That's why I had to remember very clearly, I used in the class, see now how important in meditation, in contemplation also, for it, actually we need to entertain thoughts. We never think of having a thoughtless mind. Absolutely a thoughtless mind is, you know, thoughtless, absolute thoughtlessness is called Andha Samadhi, Jada Samadhi. Understand? But we are aiming for Sahaja Samadhi. Sahaja Samadhi means what? All the time, you know, not losing sight of our Swarupam. Even when we are involved in all the transactions. It means with objectivity. That's called a Sahaja Samadhi. Is it clear? So we'll see. We'll continue tomorrow. Anyway, I will repeat this different verse in the next class. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.